Tell them welcome to the month of May. All right. Well, I promised last Sunday that I was going to continue with the lifestyle of a minister of reconciliation. So I am not going to disappoint. I'm going to go ahead. Amen. So we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we have been called, verse 18 to 20, we have been called to be a reconciler of the world, isn't it? And in verse 20, the Bible says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Now are we ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. And in 1 Peter, we said, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 12, yeah, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as God, love as brothers, and be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not return evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit the blessing. Verse 10 says that for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit. Amen. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Hallelujah. And I said to you that a code of conduct is very, very important for any work or any office you occupy. Hallelujah. If you occupy an office, you are given two things. You are given duties, isn't it? What's it called? Job description. So you are given your job description, and they give you code of conduct as well. The code of conduct is the type of attitude that is expected on the job. For instance, if the job comes with uniform, then the code of conduct also includes the wearing of uniform. So and your uniform being in a very nice and clean state. So if you come to work and your uniform is dirty and unironed and crumpled, you are breaking the code of conduct. Because your uniform is a representation of the organization that you are. Are you with me? And if you wear your uniform outside and you are fighting, it's breaking the code of conduct. Why? Because as long as you are wearing the uniform or the badge, you represent the institution. I used to work for the council, and when you don't have uniform, but we have badges, that is what takes you into the building and takes you out of the building. So every time you're going on break, for instance, you have the badge around your neck that gives you access to the building or coming out of the building. And for like council staff, they used to tell us that when you are going to the town for, for break or for lunch, hide your badge. Because when people are angry with the council and they see council staff, they can easily engage you in a fight. Because as far as they are concerned, you are the face of the council. It doesn't matter what department you are working for. Are you with me? It could be anything. They don't care. Because you are council staff, and because they don't have access to come into their building to come and accost any of the council members. So when they see you outside, then it's free for all. So when you have your badge displayed on your neck, you are entertaining trouble. And if you are caught fighting somebody or defending yourself, you will get sacked because you have broken a code of conduct. Am I making sense? So code of conduct is very important. And Christianity, we also are ambassadors of Christ. We're ambassadors of God, which means that we have been employed by Christ. The scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 5 says that God has employed us to be reconcilers. So we have been employed, which means that we have a job description as reconcilers, and we also have a code of conduct to go with the job. Amen. So last Sunday we saw how many codes. The first one was what? Living in harmony. Making sure that there is so much harmony around you. Amen. That means that don't be an instigator of trouble. How many have instigated trouble before? Give me a wave. You went to tell something about somebody, or then it created a big... You created disharmony. You know, one important thing that I said on Sunday, and I want you to write it down, that when you are born again, your spirit is saved. But your emotions and your character is not saved. Your character and your behavior is the last thing to be saved after your before your body. The body is only going to be saved at death. The Bible says, at death, the corruptible body will take on an incorruptible body. So the body only gets saved after death. So the body is always the last person to be saved. But the last but one person to be saved is your soul or your character, your behavior. And that is, so the day we got born again, our spirit was saved. From that day to the day we die, the person that needs to be saved is your character. And that is where the word of God is very important for you and I. That is why coming to church is very important for us. Because the more we interact with God through coming to church, hearing the word of God, reading the Bible, praying, is the more we change our personality. Who has heard somebody say that, as for me, the way I am, that's how I've always been. I don't change. So if you make that type of statement, it means that the word of God is fighting to change you and is not winning. Hallelujah. You have to fight to change your behavior. Hallelujah. We have to fight to change our behavior. And the first thing is that make sure that as much as, in Romans chapter 12, we said, as much as lies within your purview, live with all men in what? In peace. Be at peace with all men. Have harmony. In 1 Peter 3, 8, it says that make sure, give me the... English Standard Version, or I have a version. Let me look at my version. My version says, First Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you must live in harmony. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble. Hallelujah. Pride attracts resistance and fighting. Isn't that true? When you are a proud person, the reaction, the natural reaction against you is antagony. Are you with me? Everybody will fight pride. Nobody will accept pride. So when you behave proudly, The response that you generate is fighting. That is why the Bible says, live in harmony, be humble. Have a humble mind. Don't be condescending. Amen. Don't look down on anybody. See, these things, the church hasn't preached on it a lot. Because Everyone, including the pastors, we are all guilty. Our character is not good. And it's not becoming of Christ. And because I'm guilty, I find it difficult to preach to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the word of God, the standard of the word of God will not be brought down by anybody. We all must aspire to have a character. Let everyone speak to you. As for this person, he's a good person. Hallelujah. This person is a good person. The second thing we talked about was what? That's, go to the next verse. Verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil. Don't seek revenge. The scripture we read was, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Make room for God's vengeance. Don't be a tit for tat type of person. How many know, not you, but you know somebody who is a tit for tat? If you cross me, I'll cross you. Don't be a tit for tat. Oh, we've talked about all these things from last week, so I'm just rehearsing it. Then number 10, verse 10. The next one is that, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I think we ended up with that, isn't it? And I said, watch your mouth. Hallelujah. Psalm 143, is it? 141 verse 3. Yeah, it says that, set a gate. No. Set a guard, O Lord, over my... Give me the new, the Message Bible. Post a guard at my mouth. God, set a watch at the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth. Give me the amplified version of it. Set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch at the doors of my lips. The thing that you allow to come through your mouth. Jesus said that it, what goes out of a man is what corrupts a man. Not what he eats. Do you understand? What comes out. That is why you are given only one mouth and two ears. Which means that you should speak less than you hear. Before you speak, ask yourself, pass it through the mirror of the word. The Bible says that the word of God is supposed to edify, is supposed to correct, is supposed to exalt. Isn't it? Supposed to build. So ask yourself, what I'm saying, is it edifying? Is it building? Is it correcting? Or is it destroying? And I said gossip. Gossip is number one. How many know that gossip is the number one repeller of people? Nobody would like to be in a place of gossip. Meanwhile, if you are in a church, I wrote something in this book that the culture of a church is the behavior of the church. It's not what is preached from the pulpit. It is what is practiced from the congregation. So I can say all the good things from the pulpit if the church is open to gossiping. Anybody who comes in will be affected by it. That is the thing that repels people from the church. Are you with me? So as a church, we must fight that habit. Are you with me? It is part of us. We as people, our default setting is to gossip. And we brought it into church. Are you with me? So you must know that I am a gossip. And then it's like, this thing that I'm saying. And so I gave an equation on Sunday. This thing that I'm saying to this person, what is the motive behind what I'm saying? Why am I telling this person that? What am I achieving with what I'm saying to this person? Because you represent Christ with your mouth. What are you saying? That thing that I'm saying, is it building this person? Because you see, if you gossip about me, let's say you gossip about me to Biddy me. From then on in, anytime I speak, she hears it through the glasses you have given her to wear. Do you understand? Which means that for the rest of her life in this church, she will never ever benefit from my ministry. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Because of the gossip. Just one line is like an injection of poison. It's only a matter of time, Biddy me will die. Not physically, but she will die in terms of spiritually in this place. But the best remedy for her is to leave the church because of your gossip. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because of what you have said about me to anything I say will be seen through that lens. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it will never ever benefit her. That is what gossip does. Am I making sense? Gossip spoils relationship. Everywhere there is gossip, there's no growth. Gossip starts warm quicker than anything. See, the modern day charismatic church is full of gossip. And that is why the church is not being effective. The world is not attracted to come to the church because the church is full of hypocrites and gossips. Am I making sense at all? Yeah. Ask yourself, this thing that I'm saying, what is the benefit? What is my motive? I'll preach a message one of these days called Motives. Your judgment is not your action, but your motives. God judges our intentions, not our actions. You understand what I'm saying? That is the reason why you'll be surprised that God loves David, who did a lot of wrong acts. That is why you will be very, very surprised that your gossip is going to incur God's wrath. There's a lady called Miriam and a guy called Aaron. They were gossiping about their brother Moses, I said that gossip is a truth that you have said. I said it's a truth you have said about somebody for the wrong reason. Did Moses marry a black woman, an Ethiopian woman? Yes, he did. Did God not say that you should not marry any foreigner? Yes, God did. Was Moses disobeying God? Yes, Moses was. But it was not Miriam's place or Aaron's place to gossip about it. And when God heard the gossip, God called them out of there. Anytime God wanted to beat somebody or do, he said, come out from the camp. I don't want to beat you in the camp. Come out. That is where I learned that as a pastor, when I want to discipline you, I'll move you out of the church into my office. Come out of the camp. Then I can get my cane out. Yeah. Moses said, come out. That is how much God hates gossip. He said, come out. And he said that if there's a prophet amongst you, I'll speak to them in dark speeches and in dreams, in dark sayings, not clear. But as for Moses, I speak to him man for man, eyeball to eyeball. And you're not afraid to gossip about him. You are not afraid to gossip about the pastor. How dare you? You see, gossip reduces the person in the eye of the person who you are telling. Are you getting what I'm saying? And immediately the Bible says that leprosy fell on Miriam. When Aaron saw that Miriam had had leprosy, immediately Aaron lay on the floor and held Moses' foot. Said, my Lord, he's calling his younger brother, my Lord, I beg you. Hallelujah. We must not accept that habit in this church. That's why I say that unless I don't hear, if I hear, I will sack you one time. Whether what you said was true or not, it's not about what you said. It's the motive behind what you said. Because if you bring it to Pastor Sam, he can do something about it. That's not gossip. Do you understand? If you tell Pastor Gloria, that's not gossip. He can do something about it. But if you go and tell Esther, who cannot do anything about it? What's your intention? Was your motive to get help for the person? Obviously not. Your motive was to pass an information. Am I making sense? So be very careful. Amen. Gossip can spoil marriage. Hey, I saw Pastor something something's wife in a car in the night with brother something something something. Did you see Pastor something something's wife? Yes. Was it in the night? Yes. Was she in a car? Yes. With brother something something something. Yes, absolutely. But like I said, that gossip always have to embellish and garnish. They don't just pass raw information. They add salt and pepper. So that by the time they have finished describing the setting and describing the day and everything, the thing looks worse.
I think her hand was going.
For all you know, there was a very good reason or an emergency behind it. But your description can easily make the woman lose her marriage. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I remember a prophet, and prophets are guilty of this. We're in a prayer meeting. You know the story. We're in a prayer meeting. And in a meeting, this prophet is like, is going around looking at people's faces and, ka, ma, mi faribi, ha, ya. That's the man, the prophet. And say, you, brother Abbas, come here. We always stand in a circle to pray. So, and he was in the middle. So he'll be going around as we are praying, looking at people's faces. Then he called Brother Abbas in there. He said, Brother Abbas, you, yesterday I saw you in the realm of the spirit, in the dark place with another woman. Brother Abbas' legs. Meanwhile, the wife was in church. The mother-in-law was in church. That was the end of the Brother Abbas' marriage. Was the man in the night? Yes. Was there a lady? Yes. You know, but that is not the place or the time. The prophets, the gift of the prophet is subject to the prophet. There's a time and a place. There's a setting with which you say things. And it did not only spoil Brother Abbas's, marriage, but it spoiled the ministry. Because from that time, we're all not.
Who should come for
Those of us who were bad boys and girls, when we go for the church in prayer, we are like... because we don't want this prophet to see something and say, this was many, 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 many years ago. Mi faribi, when you hear that tongue, mi faribi, woo-hoo, everybody's like, hey. Because the word is coming. It's coming to release a bomb. So be very careful. Be very careful. The atmosphere we create is very important. In Acts chapter 2, what brought about an increase in the church was the atmosphere that was created. The atmosphere was unity, love, togetherness, brotherly kindness, fellowship, oneness. Does that mean that everybody was an angel? No. But we cover each other. Everybody has a right leg, which stands for your holiness, your purity, your strength. Your right hand, your right leg stands for holiness, purity, your strength. But we all have left hand and left leg, which stands for your weaknesses, your sin, your shortcomings. So you that you are pointing a finger and gossiping about somebody, what about your sins? Because yours is covered. You are exposing somebody else's. If God was to expose yours, how would you feel? All right, let's move to the next one. I think that Brother Bass's prophecy, I should bring it. Because mind you, I have that gift. In case you didn't know. I have that gift, but I don't use it all the time. I'll find a way to talk to you without you feeling that. Because when I see, I know it's information for me. How I disseminate that information is subject to me. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Verse 4. Next verse. We are in 1 Peter 3. We looked at 10, isn't it? Verse 10. Have we talked about 10? For he who would love... No, that's what we looked at. Verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Somebody say, do good. Seek him. Let him seek him. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Hallelujah. The ability to be good is not something that actually comes when you get born again. It's not a spiritual gift. It's a character trait. And if it's a character trait, it's a fruit of your spirituality. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. The more you allow God to come into you, the more that fruit has to come out. The fruit of maturity, it shows how mature you are in God if you're a good person. I don't know. Maturity is not a gift. You can speak in tongues. You can see. You can have revelation. You can have heal people. You can do all those type of... Those are gifts. But your ability to be good is something that you, it's your will, if you like, to do it or not to do it, to add it or not to add it. So in was it 2 Peter 1 says that add to your 2 Peter 1 5 says that so don't lose. No, give me New King James. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith good. Word virtue is good. Look for the New English Version or something for me. Add to your faith or your belief goodness. The ability to be good. When we say something is good, what do we mean? When we say somebody is a good person, what are we talking about? For this very reason, do your best to add goodness to your faith. When you say somebody is a good person, what does it mean? Everybody's quiet. I'm asking a question. Okay. I'm looking at the English scholars. Who are the English scholars here? The lawyers. What is there? Some look for the dictionary definition of good. Moral excellence, high quality, virtue, kindness. Once somebody is a good person, we are saying that person is kind. That person has empathy. That person knows how to. That person is pleasant. How many know that we are human beings, as bad as we are like good people? Favorable character or tendency. We all want, we are all attracted to good people. I'm telling you, your ability to be good is the best evangelistic tool any believer has or can ever develop. When you're a good person, you attract people. I don't know whether you're getting it. When you're a good person, you attract people. We all like good people. We all gravitate towards good people. We all shun away from bad people. I don't know whether you're getting it. Good people attract us. Hallelujah. When a good person, you know is a good person, and begins to talk to you, everybody wants to become like that person. Are you getting it? So when that good person mentors you, you become good, and you always want to gravitate towards a good person. Hallelujah. So it's that add to your faith goodness. If goodness was given free of charge, he wouldn't say add it. Goodness, the ability to be good is within your remit. God will not add it to you. You, it's a choice that you have to make. That from today, I'll be a good person. Are you getting what I'm saying? And a good person includes a lot of things. A plethora of things can be added to what we are added to the constitution of good. What constitutes good is a lot of things. But we all know what is good and we all know what is bad. So I don't know how else to teach you how to be good. Are you thinking, well, from today, decide that I'll be a good person. I'll be a good friend. I'll be a good church member. I'll be a good pastor. I'll be a good mother of the church. Believe you me, when you have a good mother of the church thrives. We all love mother. A good mother. I had a very good mother. If I had good mothers, when I was growing up, I had a mother, a church mother, who used to mother me physically. When I'm going to school, she'll cook, she'll buy provisions. When my parents give me provisions, she also add provisions. And my spiritual mother used to cook, shito. But the shito has had meat, cubes of meat inside, dried meat. So hers was like special. Hers was not like my mother's. I'm telling you, my spiritual, she was a good mother. And I love her till today. Yeah. She used to be good to me. She's called Nana Hoyle. Very good lady. She used to live just down my road. Sometimes I'll just go to her house and she'll cook for me to eat. Yeah. I must have been around 13, 14. She was in her 20s at the time. But she looked after me. Are you with me? We're in the same fellowship, but she was my mother. And she was very good to me. Because of her, I stayed in the church. Do you understand? It's not because of the pastor and his preaching. I can't remember the preaching. I can't remember any of the preaching. I'm talking about early 80s. Can't remember any of the preaching. But I remember the fried cubes of meat inside the pepper that she used to send to me to go to school. When you do say a good deed to somebody, they will never forget it. They may forget the preaching, but they will never forget that act of goodness and kindness. Amen. How many understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You see, your good preaches a message bigger and better than any sermon the pastor can preach. That art of goodness. You'll never forget it. Hallelujah. So, go back to Peter. Peter 3:11. 1 Peter 3:11. You see that? Four commands. He says that let him turn away from evil and do good. Not only do good, seek peace and seek peace and pursue it. So turn away from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Hallelujah. Turn away from evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Hallelujah. You know, when the scripture said in Acts chapter 2, 32, they devoted themselves to apostles' doctrine. This is what the apostles were teaching. The people devoted themselves to that type of teaching. See, if you look at Peter's preaching, this is it. He was preaching good behavior. If you look at, Paul's preaching, he was teaching good behavior. In Romans chapter 12, from verse 15 downwards, Paul was teaching good Christian behavior. I don't have time to read it, but I'll give you a few like highlights. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says that let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Can you see that? Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their need. When somebody has a need, share with them in their need. If you say want a mega church, this is what brings a mega church. Not Calabada, Calabada, Calabada. Calabada without goodness doesn't bring a mega church. Praying for 16 hours in tongues or going around to do evangelism without this type of behavior doesn't bring a mega church. Am I making sense? See, people stay in the place because of the atmosphere. And the atmosphere is created by culture. That is why I said that the culture, it's not what the pastor is preaching that brings the culture. It's how we are behaving that brings the culture. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. So when the person walks into the church, from the foyer, if they hear gossip, and they come and sit in the pews, and in the pews they hear gossip, the next day they are leaving the church. You won't see them again. It's not because the church is not powerful. Yeah, the pastor is not powerful. His message is not great. No. They are repelled by this. So for me, that nyunyunyu is an enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I see it as an enemy. And so when I see you as a, somebody who's nyunyunyu, I see you as an enemy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'll fight you. Either I fight that behavior and chase that behavior out of you, or I chase you and the behavior away. T.D. Jakes once said that when I'm preaching and you get up and you're manifesting, you know, demon manifestation, I will chase the demon out of you. If I cannot cast the demon out of you, I'll cast you and the demon out of my meeting. I won't let you take over my meeting. Hallelujah. And that says the Lord. When I'm preaching, that says the Lord. My friend, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony. Look at what Paul is preaching. Peter is preaching the same message. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Have we heard that before? Do not be proud. So the Bible says, by the mouth of two or many witnesses, two or three witnesses. Okay. So, do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourself. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. Because it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to eat, to drink. In so doing, you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Hallelujah. Conquer evil with goodness. Hallelujah. My prayer is that we will be good people in the church. And we will drive away those type of habits. When you hear somebody gossiping, don't engage with that thing. In fact, reprimand such a person. Rebuke them sharply. Yeah. Say, if you continue, I'll go and tell pastor. Yeah, bring them to me quickly. Hallelujah. Because that is what spoils churches faster than anything. See, Satan only uses us to fight us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He destroys the church from within. Through us. We are the people he uses to destroy the church. Not he, because if Satan appears right now, we will start praying in tongues and we'll rebuke him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even some of us who don't pray naturally, when we see Satan coming right now, we all become prayerful and fight. But when one of us is manifesting it, some of us, when you see bad going around you, you don't say anything. You don't. So I've seen it, but it's not me. I won't join, but I won't. No. You are part of them. If I hear gossip was going on and you knew about it, and you didn't inform me to do something about it, and you rather propagated the gossip, or you also disseminated the gossip, I would treat you and the gossiper or the gossip the same way. Or you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Let's finish. The last one. Is this the last one? My time is up already, isn't it? Go back to 1 Peter. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's break it down. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It means that God has special telescope on you. Do you know why? Because Satan has telescope on you as well. Satan is always looking for an occasion to accuse you before God. And God is also looking so that if Satan brings a false narrative about you, say, no, that is not what the person is. That is why God's eyes are on you. So you may think that nobody sees what you are doing, or nobody sees or hears what you are saying. But God sees and God hears. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says that all things are open and naked with him with whom we have to do. God sees when no man sees. God hears when no man hears. So be careful how you behave when you think no one is watching you. It says, all things are exposed to the eyes of him to whom we have must give account. The one that we give account is not the pastor, it's God. You may outwit the pastor, but you cannot outwit God. Because God's eyes are everywhere. Me, I wouldn't bother to even see. I have more things on my mind than you and what you are doing. I'm nobody's personal Holy Ghost to be chasing them all over the shop. I won't do that. Amen. How many understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So we should be very, very, from today, make it your determination that I will be a good person. And some habits, I will throw it out of me. Because God is not going to throw it out of you. The Holy Spirit is not going to eject it out of you. You have to eject some things and put some things inside of you. Stand to your feet.